My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Lambert, recording this episode on Sunday, January 1st, 2023. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go to the place where you listen to shows, give it a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe. It's $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 619. There's no guest. It's just me. I'm ringing in the new year in my childhood home in my mom's basement, giving you some high-quality podcasting. I'm even roughing it a little bit. I don't have my mic. I turned the heat off in the basement because the last episode I recorded down here, I think it was pretty good. Like, I did some tweaking to it, but you could hear the humming of the space heater that's down here. And I said, why don't I rough it? Why don't I just put on a flannel shirt and just like rough it and give you some top tier podcasting from a guy, a struggling actor and a comedian recording a podcast in his mother's basement. I'm going to try to give you the best podcasting I can. I am kind of roughing it. No mic. I don't have my PlayStation 5 is not with me. I have a PlayStation 4, my very first one. And I'm like, it's still great, though. It's still a great media center. And I think all I've done, I've spent more time watching shit on YouTube in the past, like since I've had one, really, like 7-8 years, watch YouTube more than anything else. But anyway, I'm down here. I'm doing a podcast. It's the first of the year. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you have a great, healthy, and prosperous New Year. I hope you had a good celebration if you partook in that. I just finished an awesome weekend of doing stand-up comedy at the Arlington Draft House. I emceed some shows for Erica Rhodes and Ariel Elias. Ariel Elias. I know there's a really talented comedian and podcaster. She goes by Ariel Lieti. And I always get those mixed up. But Ariel Elias, I worked with her. She had 3 shows. Her feature was Maddie Wiener, who's fucking hilarious and awesome. Spent a lot of time talking to her backstage. I'm going to try to get her on the show. So we'll see what happens with that. And I worked with Erica Rhodes, who I would have been friends with on social media, and finally got to work with her in person. She was really nice, really funny, and had some good times working with them. And they were all good shows, but the last show that brought in the new year, Ariel had a a 10 o'clock show, and we ended around 11:35-ish, 11:40. And then they had like champagne to toast the new year. Since that club, since the Draft House is sponsored by Uncle Nearest, I got the GM to give me like a shot of Uncle Nearest, the top tier Uncle Nearest. And that was fucking awesome. Uncle Nearest, I've liked even beforehand. And there was this one girl that I was in the show with last year that I was like, oh, this is, she's like, yeah, I like Uncle Nearest. And she was white and very lovely girl. And I was like, oh, I should hang out with you more. But anyway, Uncle Nearest, it's a fine whiskey. I think there was a black dude was the proprietor. But they have this big deal with them, and it's pretty cool. So I had a shot of that and some champagne. But I had eaten an amazing chicken quesadilla from their kitchen. Food is good there. It's changed a lot. Like I made my triumphant return to the Draft House after about 6 years. Excuse me. After about 6 years of not performing there, it wasn't because they hated me or anything. It's just like I was busy and then there's no shows ever lined up when I was home, or they had somebody or somebody was bringing somebody. Then the pandemic happened. So it is what it is. And I always have a great time there. And I think there was some confusion about me hosting or featuring. Somebody brought somebody and then it's confused. But I was like, hey, I am glad to be doing comedy. I'm glad to be getting out of the house, getting out from my mother's clutches for a few nights. And I spent like 2 weeks here, and I probably would have been going back home today. Would have been en route to Jersey, but my mom's cell phone isn't working right, and she's been complaining like about that for a long time. I took it the day after Christmas. I took it down to Waldorf to a Verizon store. Let me tell you something about this, guys. We'll get into some stuff, but hey, if you've been listening to this show for almost 10 years, you know I ramble. So I was trying to fix this thing on YouTube. I was trying to reboot it, trying to do all this stuff. First, the phone, it wouldn't send texts, or she wasn't getting her text messages or anything. So I was trying to figure that out by doing like these, looking at these YouTube tutorials and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, let me just get up early and take it down to like Clinton, Maryland. From the Maryland, D.C. area, you know about Clinton. You know where it's at. And it's like, so I go to the place where she got the phone. And so I'm sitting out there waiting for the store to open. And it's around like 9:45 or whatever. And I'm just sitting in there waiting, sitting in my car. And I see people like lining up, like they're not necessarily like trying to get in. The door's locked. You know how they have the cages? The cages were down, but they had the door open. The one where you could see the door and every so you can see inside, that was unlocked and it was pulled up. So people started like peeking in to see when they opened. And then people started lining up and I was like, oh shit, I'm going to lose my place. But then all of a sudden somebody that was working there pulled down the gate for that door so nobody could see in there. And I was like, I don't like the feeling about this place. So I just looked on my phone and looked at for another Verizon store. It was in Brandywine. It was like 15 minutes south of Clinton. So I just went down there and I was like, I was going to go down there anyway to get my mom, just to go down and do some shopping and get some groceries or whatever. I was like, I'm going down there anyway, whatever. So I went down there, I waited, and they were super nice. They were already open. I don't know. I just the vibe from that particular store, I was like, okay, you guys don't want to help anybody. So I get to the store, I get to this new place, and then they tell me that they've outsourced, because my mom has insurance on the phone is paid for. I was trying to get the thing looked at. The guy really didn't want to look at it. They said they outsourced their stuff to Asurion, which is this chain of stores called You Break, I Fix. This place has fixed my PlayStation. They really just, there was nothing wrong with my PlayStation 4. I think it was, this PlayStation that I got hooked up down here in the basement now, I was playing Days Gone a few years ago, and it just froze, and it just like, so I think they just cleaned out the fan, and it's working perfectly. They didn't even charge me. I tried to get them to fix this old iPod that I had, but they couldn't really fix that. I think it was like a, maybe it had been a battery. Anyway, so they've outsourced to them, and I was just like, okay, well, I'll do that. But then they gave me this number. They gave me some phone numbers to Verizon to see. They said, yeah, it's probably a technical thing, like something that they have to fix on their end. So I called and waited a half an hour for this guy to fix some stuff. He had to punch in some numbers or do some work on some tool so my mom could send and receive text messages. And he did it. And I, before that, I had rebooted the phone to factory settings and I put in her information and all that. And I thought the fucking thing was working fine. Then it continued to cut off. And then my mother started like, you know, wilding out about that. I was like, well, I said we can take it to You Break, I Fix. And I said, I'll take you whenever you want to go. I said, but look, I have a show on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So if you want to go when I get off work, I'll gladly take you. But she dragged her feet. And Saturday, I almost had a gig that was going to pay a lot of money for New Year's Eve, but I guess it just didn't work out. You know how sometimes, like, when you're out of town or something, that's when work starts happening. I don't know if there's any other artist or, like, if you're, like, a freelancer of any kind where you're just like, I'm taking some time. I'm going to be with my family. And then when you leave town, it's like, oh, there's this opportunity that might happen. And then some other people called and asked for me about some gigs, but I wasn't in town. And so it was what it was. And I said, either way, I'm just going to, if not, if the gig doesn't happen, I'll just do these shows that I'm doing. And I had a great fucking time, as I just told you. And so she thought I was leaving. So I was like, yeah. So I do the shows. And yesterday I did a bunch of shopping, made sure she had like all of her, like some groceries and stuff there and all, blah, 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 all this stuff. Son duties as child duties to their, for their parents. And I was doing that all day. Then I ate a little something, then went and did the shows. And then when I get back from the shows, like this morning, she's like, I got to get my phone fixed. It hasn't been working since October. She's being dramatic. The phone works, but it should be, if you're paying all this money, the phone was like, nowadays, but it's still, it's a smartphone, but that phone was like $400 and it's not even a year old and it's fucking up. She should get a new one or they need to fix whatever the fuck is going on with this thing because it's running me crazy. I don't know, like having an elderly parent is almost like having a child, I think. I mean, I don't have any kids, but that's the closest thing that like I can compare it to. So she was saying that and complaining and stuff. And I said to myself, because I wanted to go back today. And I just said to myself, you know what? I'm not going back on the first. Thankfully, I have the day off. So I made an appointment at this place. And God willing, please pray for me that this phone gets fixed or she gets a new one or something. Because Jesus Christ. So I'm still here, doing this pod. But I hope you had a good holiday season. I had a pretty good Christmas. It sucked. You know, my dad isn't here anymore. I don't think I got emotional. I did not get emotional on Christmas. But I did get emotional. Like I had to, it's people always talk about the bullshit, like all the negative stuff that goes on in the world and how it's so bad and this and that. And there's a lot of reason to be aware of that and complain and talk about it. But the kindness of strangers is really amazing. Like my parents are elderly, you know, and they when my dad was still around and the people that do our trash and recycling, you know, you put your trash out in the front, they take it, you drag it, you put it in the back. These really sweet dudes go in the backyard, take out the trash, empty it, and the recycling, and they put the trash cans in the recycling bag. And my mother's like, oh, I want to make sure these guys, you give these guys something for their, you know, what they've done. I was like, yeah. And I was like, of course. So I got some cash out, gave them some cash. And I think I just had to wait for them. So I had to get up extra early and wait to just like catch these guys. And the first guy, like I, you know, gave him, I don't know if they were shocked to see my big ass like standing in the back waiting to give him some money, but they were really nice. And I kind of teared up like because they were helping my parents out. And then maybe talking to my aunt like the a couple like one time last week. And but she didn't know it. But I think I have more access. I think my dad was like this too when he was my age. He was more of a man's man than me, but he was very, he was not afraid to be emotional in that way, like emotionally vulnerable and stuff. I saw something on Facebook or something. Somebody was talking about guys crying. Black dudes, it's so hard. Like, I the only thing I push back on, like, I'm not this podcast in the new year isn't going to turn into a quote unquote alpha male podcast, but it's like black dudes cannot fucking express themselves and be emotional. It's really hard for black dudes to like do that. I kind of alluded to some of that last week, but the last time I put out an episode. But yeah, that's something that's like really hard, and it shows some people think it shows a sign of weakness, but I see these women on these dating apps saying they want a guy who's emotionally intelligent. That doesn't mean you're crying all the fucking time, but like, yeah, I don't know. It's hard for in the black community for black dudes to really express their feelings without getting shamed or gaslit or whatever. I know men do that to women too, but I mean, it's just a trait that black men can't really express. That was a tangent, but yeah, overall Christmas was good. I made a prime rib. My mother was trying to pull this. I'm not cooking. And I was thinking to myself, like, well, this was like Friday. This was like the, what was that? That would have been the 23rd. And so I was saying, yeah, what was that? That was, that Friday. I said, okay, let me just, cause I was thinking about doing a honey baked ham, and I like honey baked ham, but I don't really see ham as the main dish in any holiday setting. Like as far as like having meat, a protein, ham is like you make a ham sandwich. You have it on the side, you have your turkey or your beef, and then ham is kind of like a side thing. And then it's like, then you make sandwiches for a few days with it, and you have like, put them in an omelet or something, and then you just put that thing in the freezer. And then you bring it out, like if you had it on Thanksgiving, you bring that ham out for Christmas. But you're going to probably have another turkey or what have you. So I was like, my mom doesn't like ham like that. And I like it, but I don't like it that much. So I was like, I'm not going to do honey baked ham. But maybe for Easter or something, we do it. I don't know. So I didn't do that. I was like, well, maybe I'll just make a prime rib. The last time I had made one was around February, around, you know. So I was looking, I was like, oh my God, it's probably going to be a shit show. I really don't want to go anywhere like during the weekend while everybody's going crazy Christmas shopping and buying groceries. So when I, on my lunch break, I just went across the street to Giant. They had some on sale. They had a bunch of them. And then they had one in the at the butcher shop, like in the case where I wanted to get one, but the line was long and the guy working there didn't seem like he wanted to be there and didn't want to help anybody. So that just kind of turned me off. So I got a good for like maybe 40 or 50 bucks. It was the regular price was like 111 bucks. And it was, you know, I thought it tasted good. I seasoned it. And then there's always drama with like black people, my mother, who does not like the prime rib to be red. But it's like, that's how you do it. That's how you cook that piece of meat. So she was talking about that. She said, this wasn't as good as the other one, because she knew I went to Giant and I didn't go to Sam's Club. But I wasn't going to be driving all. And then if I drove all the way to Sam's Club, she'd be complaining, where are you? Why are you taking so long? You know, like just like, hey, mom, you know what I mean? And I just said, fuck it. Well, you weren't going to cook anything. So, I mean, we had vegetables already. And I think what else did we have? Like potato salad. And so it was good. I liked it. And we almost and it's almost gone. It wasn't that much. I ate some of off of it for, and even and especially when you reheat it, it you get the red out of it anyway. So whatever, it was good, but it wasn't the greatest piece of meat that I worked with. But the first time that I made one, I had a small one, and that was like Christmas of 2019 before everything went to shit. My dad and I were in Waldorf. He waited in the car. I went into Giant and I think I got one of the last ones and that ended up being great. And then I did one during the pandemic. I went to this butcher shop somewhere in Jersey and that turned out really good. And yeah, I mean, I made this maybe had 3 or 4 experiences that I made. It was not the best. Maybe the first 3 that I made were actually really good. So I don't know, man. But you can't please everybody. I enjoyed that shit. And then today for breakfast, I had a couple slices of bacon that my mother made. And I told you about this Peter Luger bacon, which is almost wasted on my mother because she likes it, but she burns the shit out of this bacon. She's like, you're not supposed to do that. She's like, I don't like it well, like meaning. I was like, Ma, oh my God. I think it's a waste to burn it that much, but so be it. That's what she likes. It is what it is. But do you guys have that? Let me know. Reach out to me and let me know if your parents are like that or you know people in your family that just overcook stuff, just overcook meat, you know? It's just not my thing. I do not like it. I also made some spaghetti. Now, the one my mom did give me a compliment. She gave me a compliment about the spaghetti that I made last week. I've been doing some things with the seasoning, and I've been using Creole seasoning. And when you cook the meat, like when you saute, like I've spoken to real Italian people and they don't put anything in their gravy. They don't put any like vegetables in there. One, my old boss was saying that she didn't do that. But growing up, my mom always put like peppers, onions, and celery in it. So I did that. But when you're sauteing your vegetables, you saute it. You get to let it, you know, let it cook and whatnot. And then, like, you add your beef, but you don't put the seasoning in right away. You wait till after it browns up, and then you put in the seasoning. So I just added that, like, a couple other things, like seasoned pepper and the Creole seasoning. Turned out great. I was highly impressed. And I don't think, sidebar, I don't know if I mentioned this the last time. I don't think it happened yet. I went to Harris Teeter to get these bison dogs that the homie Felder, Michael Felder, was telling me about. I'm still not a hot dog guy, and I don't think I cooked them right. My mom was like, oh, you got to boil them before you put them in the grill or whatever. And it takes out all the sodium. They did have a lot of sodium in it, but I was never a hot dog guy. And I was like, I just wanted to try it because it was bison. It was not, you know, it wasn't for me. But what I did find at Harris Teeter was the fact that these motherfuckers make a good pizza at Harris Teeter. And I don't know if it was because it was a black Harris Teeter. It was like black people running the store. Cause that makes a difference. So I was in there and I was like, oh, I'll get these bison dogs. Oh, let's see what my mom wants. If she wants something, wants me to pick something up. So I got this rotisserie chicken and I was like, oh, they got pizza. We can have that, you know? And there was this one black lady, a middle-aged black woman. She was getting, they got this pizza of the month, which is like $8.99. Regularly it would be like 12 or 14 bucks or something like that. And she was getting it. She was like, I want you to hook me up. She's like, give me the meat on there. And not, you just put a good amount on there, but not enough to get you fired. And I was watching them and I was laughing. I was like, I asked her, I was like, do you like these? You like this pizza? And she's like, yeah, it's good. I was like, okay, I want that. And so I got the same thing. And that shit was fire. That shit was great. It was really good. It was just a pie with like veggies and like green peppers, onions, olives, and something like pepperoni. And it was really good. It was impressive. I would say, now this might be blasphemy coming from me, but I would say it was better than Wegmans. I don't know. I think it's better than Wegmans. So I was highly impressed. That was good. My mother really liked that too. And they had some wings, but the wings had been out there. You know how they have the little buffet, the little the hot food section. The wings were pretty good. They were okay. But I think if they were fresher, they might have been better. But whatever. So I enjoyed Christmas and all that. And the day after Christmas, like I said, when I went to get my mom's phone looked at, I went to Target and I wasn't looking for any holiday candy, but I saw the guy, they had wiped that out. They wiped that Target out in Brandywine. It looked like The Last of Us in there. Like it was just so, it was like ransacked and it was crazy. But I found like I was getting some stuff and they had like, they had the half pound Reese's peanut butter cups and I got two of them. And I think I paid like $8 a piece. Normally, if you go to a gas station like Royal Farms or Wawa or anywhere, usually it's like 16 to 20 bucks. It's super expensive. And the only time I like to get them is like during the holiday season. You know, you can get like, I'm not a fat asshole. You can get like four, not meals, but four treats out of that. You cut them in half, you know, you take one out, you cut it in half, and that's enough for a big guy like me. And then you just, the next time you want one, you put it back in the fridge, and the next time you want one, you do the, you know, you eat that, you cut it. But I'm going to, when I get home, I'm putting them in the freezer, and I'll have it when I want. That's what I like about the Reese's holiday stuff. Some of that stuff tastes better. It tastes better than the regular candy that you can get throughout the year. The seasonal ones seem to taste better. They have like a different taste. I think the pumpkins have been my favorite. So I got some of that and I didn't overindulge, and then also they have snowmen. I bought a couple of those too. And I did eat a snowman. The snowman tastes like the big Reese's cups. It's a different thing. It's like a different vibe. It reminds me of when I was a kid and you used to get like the special Easter candy. And that's what it tasted like. Like the Easter candy, like not necessarily Cadbury, but it was a different taste to it, like a higher tier than normal. So at least once a year, I indulge. I'm not a big sweet. I've gotten fat from like burgers and pizza, not really from candy. But I'm working my way. I've not been to McDonald's in a month, and almost over a month now. And like I did say on social, on the one of the last shows, where I'm just, if I want McDonald's, it's gonna be like once a month thing. I gotta like do it that way, and it's hard because it's like traveling all the time, and then you see it. It's easy to do that, but I think some of my time spending money like is just gonna be on like, if I want something after a movie, maybe it's Sweetgreen instead of Five Guys. Or maybe it's like, take your fat ass home and make your own salad and put your protein in it, you know? So that's what I'm going for. Just going to try to get in gear. Just trying to get my shit together, man. I actually got, surprisingly, I got some reviews. Some new iTunes reviews, some new 5-star reviews. So why don't I read those and continue on with the show? So this one was on December 19th from CaliStar72. The title says, "Relatable, 5 stars. I too heard of you listening to Three Guys On and TBGWT podcast, and like how you think. Fan from the San Francisco Bay Area." Well, awesome. Thank you, CaliStar72. I appreciate that. Thank you for listening. It's always nice to know that there's people out there that like the show and that I'm not sending this podcast out there in the abyss. That's always good to know. Here's another one from Yami Mac from December 21st. "Good show. 5 stars. I enjoy the solo episodes, but he's really good when interviewing people, too. Helps me pass the time when I'm on the grind." That's fucking awesome, Yami Mac. Or is it Yami Mac or Yami Mac? I don't know. But whichever one of those you are, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. That makes me feel good. Really makes me not want to quit when I get stuff like that. So that's good to hear. Yeah, we'll try to keep this going as long as possible. I think what I might do, I don't know if the Last of Us recap show is going to be on Patreon or the main feed, but I think what I will do is maybe just do for the time being is like you put them, maybe put it out on the main feed and just do shit like I'm doing, reviewing stuff and really having long form solo episodes of me, rambling or whatever, or me talking to other people, so you don't have to hear me by myself, and put that behind the paywall. So we'll see. I don't know, because I kind of had the feeling of ending it after the Last of Us show, after this first season, like maybe so the show starts on the 15th, and then maybe like just ending it after that, which would probably be 8 weeks after that, so like sometime in February or early March. I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet, but I really do love doing the show. And I think, you know, I mentioned it a few times within the last month or so, just talking about like really being enjoying doing stand up and meeting new people, which was fun this past weekend, and really doing the show. So maybe that'll still feed into me wanting to put out the pod. I'm not gonna, I'd be lying to you if I wasn't thinking about ending it, because it's not lucrative at all, really. And then there's other people that are making tons of money, but I started out doing this for its intrinsic value, for a place for me to just kind of put my thoughts and use it as like a journal, almost like a journal of a dude that's like trying to work his way through the industry through showbiz, and talk to people that are doing the same things that have reached certain heights in their career. And it's a fun outlet, you know, it's like a fun hobby. So I still like doing it. But I don't know. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. I did see before I started this episode today, Lupita Nyong'o is dating Sal Masekela, who used to host a show on ESPN2. That's where I remember him from. And he's dating her. And like, I was like, oh shit, that's fucking cool. And then I see on this fucking this article saying like, oh, people are mad that he's 51, she's 39, and they think he's ugly. And I'm like, man, he looks good enough to land Lupita. So he must be doing something right. And someone posted the tweets that he had, like, oh, like when he first met her, I guess. And I guess they were on a flight together. And he said, somebody give me a line to say to Lupita Nyong'o, I'm sitting behind her. And whoever gave him that line is a hell of a wingman, because he's been dating her. And people are mad about that. And I think it's just really projecting on, like, you know, hey, those people that are talking about him being ugly, that are talking shit about him, they're just jealous and they're sad in their own personal life. And you could be sad with your personal life or whatever you got going on, but you don't have to project that shit out to people. And I know, because I know what it's like to be sad and depressed or feel some kind of way, but you try not to bring that energy and dump it on other people. That's why I try to be aware of that, you know, with my friends and people who I associate with and just people I'm around in general. You try not to exude that sort of thing, but it's really mean and fucking toxic. It sounds so cliche to say that, but it is toxic. If you like Lupita, if you genuinely like her just because she seems to be like a nice person, or you like her because she's talented and beautiful and all that stuff, just be happy for her that she found somebody. And that guy, you know, and that's the primary thing. Like, if you like her, just be happy that she's with somebody. The hideous, evil shit that some people say, like someone said, like, oh, I mean, black women really date down when they date black men. I'm like, God damn. But almost anybody would be dating down if you're next to Lupita Nyong'o. I mean, I hope to be that one day. If I'm with somebody that I'm attracted to, that I'm in love with, if she happens to be like super beautiful, shit, people would say that about me, you know. But I don't know. I think there's just a lot of sad people in the world, and it's so weird, like that Tory Lanez situation. The audio got revealed of a phone call he had with a girl he was messing with, and where he basically confessed to doing the thing. And I don't think, maybe he didn't mean to do it, because it seems like he was drunk, but he did it and it happened, and he has to face the consequences. And I don't know how good of a rapper he is. I don't know anything about this dude's music, but, and I don't know why people, well, yes, I do. I think people root for, or even though they knew he did something, and they take his side because it's like projection. They're projecting, I want to do that shit and get away with it, so I would do that shit too. They're projecting their own hopes and all this bullshit onto him, onto, what's his name, Tory Lanez. I don't know. Whatever. I just don't see why anyone would be pressed to get involved in that shit. Like, why do you have to take a side in that? I don't get it. I don't freaking get it. I've not watched any football. I've barely watched any football this year. One is because there's no cable down here. And I've just been watching like YouTube clips. What I have been watching though, there's this kid, and if you're like into college sports, college basketball in particular, this kid, Jared, what is it? It's Jared McCain, who just committed to Duke this last year. This like kid from Sacramento, this awesome basketball player. He's got this like these videos or this a TV show that's a channel on YouTube where it like talks about his it's basically a documentary on him going through like AAU and high school stuff. It's pretty cool. I like watching these young kids play basketball. Like it's like a because I think it started with Bronny James. So they did. So Bronny James and Keon Anthony, Carmelo Anthony's kid, they played together last month, played against each other last month. Their teams did. And there's all this hoopla, obviously, because LeBron and Melo played against each other and they essentially came up together. It was cool. Like I enjoyed it. Those kids. And then watching the show on Amazon, the Bronny James and that Sierra Canyon show, Bronny James. Let's see, like TV show. What's the name of it? It's on Amazon. Uninterrupted's Top Class: The Life and Times of the Sierra Canyon Trailblazers. They've done two seasons, and I enjoy watching that. But actually, my favorite thing, really, with regards to sports now, has really been like young people and stuff, like The Last Chance U, all the football stuff, the Friday Night Tykes, the fucking what else was it? Friday Night Tykes. I think it was like a First Class or Top Class, the quarterback stuff. They follow these young kids playing football and these top prospects and how they turn out. Last Chance U basketball. I watched that while I've been down here. I really enjoyed that. So that's kind of what's kept me into sports. That's the only reality TV that I watch. And I'm not trying to act like I'm better than anybody. Because a lot of people like that Fiance show, the 90 Day Fiance and all that stuff. Not my thing, and I don't judge anybody for watching it. But the stuff with regards to reality TV, I'm more into the sports reality TV, and then particularly like following these young people that are trying to make it. These people that are trying to make it and these people that are just essentially preordained to make it and how they fucking handle this pressure. Like this Jared McCain kid, like, is kind of destined to go to the NBA. Like I got this playing on mute now. And it's interesting to follow and like how they basically just they hoop all the time. And Jared is playing on Russell Westbrook's why not team. I guess that's his AAU team. And it's the EYBL league. And it's just cool. I like it. I like it. These kids that are like trying to do something. Obviously, it's not in the theater. Sometimes those theater shows, and I think there's something that's out on HBO Max about these kids. It just makes me a little nervous. Like even that August Wilson competition, that shit makes me nervous. But this one's basketball, so I don't worry about it too much. And these kids already they're so good that they're gonna go to school. Most of these kids playing in these leagues, they're going somewhere to school, so their future, for the most part, is kind of taken care of because, like, they're going to get a college education at least, you know, before they go pro or if they decide to not hoop anymore, they're essentially taken care of. So that the worry factor isn't there as much as it would be for this theater shit because I know what they want to do and what they're trying to do, and that shit is a little less guaranteed than this basketball shit, where some of them seem like they know I'm going to go to college and I'm going to get a degree and then I'll figure that out. There's one kid in this Jared McCain documentary was like, yeah, I'm hooping and everything, but you know, I really like computer science, you know? If you go to the dude's channel is Nick in the Cut. And it's all one word, and cut is two T's at the end. And it's really just like, it's called Believe. That's the name of this series. I think there's like two or three seasons. I haven't watched all of them, but it's good like background stuff when you're just kind of like, they show these guys getting ready. They show them at the hotel. They show them goofing around. They really like Drake. This Jared kid is always singing Drake. And it's his roommate, Rusty, who's a prospect. What's his name? He's going somewhere too. Rusty, is it Rusty James? No. Rusty, blue chip, basketball prospect. What's his name? I don't know. I'm not even gonna. Ah, shit. Anyway, his roommate, you'll find it. His name's Rusty. And he's good too. And they like sing Drake songs while they're in the hotel. I don't know all those. I don't know about Drake, but they love Drake. But that's about right. The kids of this generation would really love Drake. I mean, I was trying to think of a rapper. I mean, I loved Q-Tip when I was in high school. I didn't know about Mos Def until college. And I wasn't really into the Roots as much as one of my best friend in high school was into them, you know? So it was like, as far as hip hop is concerned, it was like Redman, Keith Murray, Method Man, Mobb Deep, and shit like that. So, but yeah, these kids love Drake. But it's fun. It's kind of relaxing to watch. And these kids are so good in these leagues, and the way that they shoot, these kids can shoot, and it kind of shows you how like Steph Curry really changed how basketball is played. Like, all of these dudes just fucking pull up. They pull up from the middle, like watching LeBron's kid play. Just pulling up from after you cross the half-court line. Like, it's amazing to watch. Obviously, the skill level is different from the NBA and college, but you could see the potential that a lot of these kids have. And a lot of these biracial kids are balling out. This Jared McCain kid is biracial. He's a beast. And he's a point guard, like a big point guard. So it's good, man. That's kind of what I've been watching as far as TV is concerned, like regular television. I've been watching that. I watched that show, Kindred. I finished that. It's okay. I know it's that Octavia Butler adaptation. I think if you read these Octavia Butler, the Octavia Butler, the novels and everything, I think you would not, I think you'd kind of be pissed because it seems like people are kind of mad about it. It's just some of the stuff just kind of, the New York Times had a really good review about it. Let me see. Kindred, New York Times. It came out on December 16th, this piece. So her Kindred review, Octavia Butler comes to screen. Her 1979 novel about time travel to the slaveholding South is adapted loosely in an FX series on Hulu. I really think this actress, Mallory Johnson, she's not only is she beautiful, she's really talented, and I think she's like straight out of Juilliard. She's really good and she's acting, but it's like, it's really intense. You don't know what's going on when it first starts. And then it gets, I don't know if you can hear my mom playing gospel music or not, but it's fine. And you know, when somebody like my homie, Darren Patterson, I think he just said like, it's all right. When he says that something's all right, it's kind of just all right. And I think if you were invested in her novels and her work, I really think people would be, I think you'd probably be pissed. But it's worth checking out. It's not horrible, but there's just some things. Like maybe when somebody that's seen it comes on, maybe we'll talk a little more in depth about it. But it's just okay. Some of it reminds me of that show, the show within a show, Due North, on on from Insecure. I hate slavery. It's not campy. That's supposed to be funny. Well, but it's like a melodrama that they, I think they wanted to be kind of like Scandal, but set in slavery times. They're kind of making fun of Scandal. But this one's supposed to be serious. And it's like some things are just kind of like, some of it's just kind of thin. I can't really put my finger on it. But towards the end of the of season one, things kind of, because you're like, what are they doing this for? Why is this happening? Why is she going back in time? And then when you find out the reason, things kind of coalesced and it's like, now we got something. But it's almost like it took six or seven episodes to really be like, oh, this is what it is. Now we finally got something. But it's fine. I think this actress is really good. She can only do what the script's telling her to do. But I think she's terrific. She's holding the show on her back, and then some of the supporting characters are good too. But it's just like the matter of like, what are you doing here? And it takes too long to get to where it needs to get when it's like, okay, now we got something. So it's okay. Another show, this show called You Don't Know Me. I thought I had it pulled up, but it's a show that I just kind of randomly started watching. It's been on my list. It came out last year, and it's like a miniseries, a British miniseries. I'll read you the blurb. A young man from South London is in the dock for murder. The evidence against him is overwhelming, but rather than let one of the barristers decide what's in his best interest, he chooses to exercise his right to tell his own story in his own words. His story is extraordinary. It's about the woman he loves who got herself into dangerous trouble. It's about how he risked everything to save her. He swears he's innocent, but in the end, the only thing that matters is if you believe his story or not. This show was solid. I think it was solid. I was into it. I was locked in. But then, you know, how many episodes did they do? Is it like 6 or 5? 4 episodes. Oh, there's just 4. You could knock this out in a day if you wanted to. I thought this was good. I thought it was, so the ending was sort of a cop-out. And I think it's worth seeing for you to decide whether the ending was a cop, if the ending was a cop out to you or not. But I was just like, you're taking me to all these places. You have this stuff that's a mystery for like 3 episodes, and now you're gonna just kind of, you know, have it open ended. I think they just wrote themselves. I don't know. It's just sort of a cop out. The ending was not satisfying for all the buildup. I don't think it was satisfying at all. But really good acting. This guy, Samuel Edwunmi, is very good. He's the lead guy. Everything's kind of, he's carrying the series. Good acting. I don't really know a lot of these actors, but it's good. It's a good show, but I just feel like the ending was just kind of like, what? Are you kidding me? So that's like as far as the new stuff. I had a show on Netflix, The Recruit, with the kid Noah Centineo. I like him. He's a charming dude. He's like playing this guy that gets recruited into the CIA, and he gets into all this shit. It's like, I'm trying to think of what, it's like Alias maybe, but less serious. Alias wasn't a comedy. They're just like, they're trying to make it a comedy. Doug Liman directed a bunch of episodes. Let me see The Recruit. I could kick it out. I just didn't think I was going to talk about it, but it was kind of picking up like as I was watching like the 3rd episode. I was like, okay, I'll rock with it, because I was watching it before I left to go do the last show yesterday. A fledgling CIA lawyer gets caught up in a dangerous game of international politics when a former asset threatens to expose the nature of her relationship with the agency unless they clear her name. Solid so far. You know, it's something to watch. That guy, like this, like I said, this guy's charming. Some pretty girls that are in it. Pretty women, you know. And it's got action. I want to see who the creator is, though. I saw that Doug Liman directed one episode, at least that I paid attention to. Creator Alexi Hawley. Let's see. Known for The Rookie, The Exorcist Beginning, and The Recruit. Okay. She wrote, he or she. Let me see. Alexi. It might be a guy. I don't know. It's a dude. Okay. So let me see what. Sorry for the Dead Air. Okay. He's a TV show guy. It's fun. They just had Doug Liman direct one of the episodes, it looks like. But I like it so far. It's fine. It's pleasant. It's entertaining. I rock with it, you know. Let's do a couple movies and get out of here. So the newest movie I've seen that's out there in the streets is The Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. I'm gonna put my man Jeff Cerulli on blast. I follow him on Letterboxd. He gave it 2.5 stars. Never has a film been more pleased with itself. I liked it way more than he did. I think that I gave it 4.5. I gave it 4.5 stars. I really liked the first one. I rewatched it before this one, new one came out. Before I saw the new one, rather. And I was like, this fucking thing is like really good. I really liked Ana de Armas in it. Just the whole cast was funny. And it was, you know, I just to give the respect that the first one deserved. I'm a big Rian Johnson fan. I've been a fan ever since. I believe Brick was the first thing that I saw of his. I think that might be the first film. And I really liked The Brothers Bloom. Looper kind of put him on the map. And he directed The Last Jedi, which, you know, a lot of people, they didn't like. And it was all this drama. A lot of it, I don't think, was his fault, because I think he had to stick to the narrative, what Disney wanted, what they wanted for that franchise. So I thought it was okay. You know, it was fine. I wasn't like, my childhood was not ruined. I was talking to my cousin who I grew up with. He's like 2 years older than me. I think he hated all three. He hated all the Star Wars reboots or whatever. And I just said, you know, like, it's okay to not like them, but like, I don't think my childhood was ruined because this didn't meet my standards. I just thought it was fine. I was happy that, you know, Finn was, you know, John Boyega had a part. I didn't like how they used him and what they did to him. They could have had it. I didn't like the fact that they wouldn't let him be with Rey. But yet they decided to have my man, what the fuck is his name? I thought he was a great villain. What's Adam Driver? Who the hell is that guy's name? See? Adam Driver, Star Wars. What is his character? I'm so fucking old. What was the guy's name? Kylo Ren. Jesus. Yeah, so him as Kylo Ren, I thought he was great because he was like that unhinged fucking character, and you didn't know what he was going to do. I thought he was good in that. But it was just fine. And he and I were just talking last week about it. I was just like, yeah, I didn't care for it that much. But I thought Andor was the best thing that they've done, like, since they started putting all this shit out. And, like, Rogue One, I thought was really good. It's not going to ruin my childhood. I remember those times having those action figures. My late great uncle had the fucking laser discs. And I had a great time watching those movies and playing with the toys, watching them all the time. It was the shit. That's never going to go away unless I get Alzheimer's or something and forget about that shit. But now as I'm talking to you, I'm not gonna be mad, you know, about a fucking movie. So I know that was a fucking tangent, but I really enjoy Rian Johnson. I like his work. And I think Brick actually was the first film that of his that I saw. That was his first film, but yeah, that was like 2005. So and I remember getting that movie because I used to get the hookup at this place called LA Tan and Video. I think I was the only person that rented movies from that place. And this Indian guy would give me, I would have a tab and he would give me like these brand new DVDs and then I would just pay him when like pay the tab off. I forget his name. He started with a K. Crew. His name was Crew. That was my guy, man. I miss that. That's when you still had video stores. But if you haven't seen Brick, you should. But I like this new one, man. I was worried because I was like, it's like, okay, the first one was super successful. And now it's like, okay, there's some expectations. And maybe they put more money into it. I'm not 100% sure. But this one came off as a little more opulent, a little more spectacle involved. I was thrown for a loop and I was, because I was going to get angry. If you haven't seen it, when I was texting Darren, we talked about it. But I was getting angry at a certain moment because I was like, you have this person here and then this happens. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, so I felt that way about it. So which meant I was invested. It was fun. It was fun. And I could see where Jeff would say, like, there it's pleased with itself, but I mean, I think that's almost the point. There's almost some like tongue in cheek involved, and maybe they did go bigger with this one, but at the same time, it's like it was still fun. I was still intrigued. I thought, you know, everybody did a good job. I thought Daniel Craig was great, Edward Norton, Dave Bautista, Janelle Monáe, Kate Hudson, Catherine Hahn. This is a good cast. Leslie Odom Jr., Madeline Klein, and Jessica Henwick. It was just a fun, enjoyable movie. And that's what the first one was. It was like, man, you watch something like that, and you're like, man, that was fucking good. Like, I enjoyed that. When I saw that first one, I was just like, wow, Knives Out, fucking good. Packed a wallop, you know, just a highly entertaining. So I recommend it. I'm just not going to give it being better than the first. I think I gave the first one 5 stars on Letterboxd, if I'm not mistaken. I did. Yeah. So I really dug that one. That was the last new film that I've seen. Patreon folks, later on this week, you'll get an episode and I'll blab to you till you're blue in the face and I'll talk about some new movies. I reserved myself a ticket for The Whale, the new Darren Aronofsky film, the latest Darren Aronofsky film. Been hearing a lot about it. Brendan Fraser's getting the Oscar buzz. So I'm interested in seeing it. I don't know if I'm excited to see it, if I'm ever excited to see a Darren Aronofsky movie, although he's a great filmmaker. I like his films. I think he does great work, but it's like, they always end up being like some kind of depressing. It's not on the level as of Lars von Trier, but it's pretty close. Like I saw Requiem for a Dream and I was like, I understood and appreciated its greatness, but I have it on DVD. I don't know when I've seen it. It's like the movie's like 20 years, almost over 20 years old now. I think that was like 99 or 2000. I want to say it's 2000. Okay. So it's like almost 23 years old now. I did like that. Oh, I did see a new, let's just do this instead of the other movie that I was going to talk about. I'll talk about this other one. All right. This is what I want to do. And we'll close with this one. So I want to talk about this film After Sun that was recommended to me by the homie, Dr. Veronica Paredes, Dr. P. I knew about this movie, but it never ended up in Jersey, at least, or I never caught it. And so one day it just kind of snuck up on iTunes and on VOD. And Veronica was like, yeah, I just saw, she texted me. She's like, I just saw After Sun. I really liked it. I said, oh, well, I never caught it. I wanted to see it. I just never caught it. I know Paul Mescal was getting Oscar buzz for his performance. And let me just read the blurb to you. Here we go. I'll read you the Google blurb. 20 years after their last holiday at a fading vacation resort, Sophie reflects on the rare time spent with her loving and idealistic father, Callum. At 11 years old, as the world of adolescence creeps into Sophie's view, Callum struggles under the weight of life outside of fatherhood. Sophie's recollections become a powerful and heartrending portrait of their relationship. As she tries to reconcile their father, as she tries to reconcile the father she knew with the man she didn't. Written and directed by Charlotte Wells. This is her debut film. It's an A24 film. I really like this one. And I was poking fun at Veronica. I said, you know, if this isn't good and I pay $20 for it, this is your fault. And I just said, like, as a Christmas gift, as a treat to myself, I'll get this movie, because if I missed it when it was in the city and getting over and traveling there to cross the bridge, that's already $16. To find parking, that's probably $20 or $30. And I wouldn't have to pay for the ticket, but I'd be paying for snacks. So I saved in the long run. I really like this movie. Now, the homie Brandon Collins from the great podcast Medium Popcorn, he did not like it, but I saw the value in this one. I thought it was great. What did I give it? I think I gave it 4 stars. Let's see. I think I did. After Sun, I gave it 4.5. I mean, I thought this girl was sweet. Her name's Frankie Corio. I just really liked it. It touched me. And it's almost like it's like one of those. This film was a much darker version to me. It's not the exact same thing, but it just kind of puts me in the mind of this film that Sofia Coppola directed in 2010 called Somewhere. And it's a movie with Stephen Dorff and Elle Fanning. And I'll read you the little blurb here from, this is a Google Play blurb. Set amid the hallowed grounds of Hollywood's legendary Chateau Marmont, this atmospheric dramedy centers on hard-living actor Johnny, played by Stephen Dorff, whose life is thrown for a loop when his 11-year-old daughter, Cleo, Elle Fanning, pays him a surprise visit. This is kind of one of those things where it's just like the camera's just, yeah, there's a script, but the camera's really just like capturing the behavior of these people. The narrative is important, but then it's just kind of there. Like, it's just like a character study, really. And I think that's what this one is, but this one is a little more solemn because there's a moment where I was like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't fucking do that to me. Don't do that to me on Christmas. Ah. And then you find out later that it's just like, yeah, some other shit happened. And it's kind of implied. I think it's a beautiful film. I really liked it. I mean, it's 70% on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, somewhere is 70%. What is After Sun? After Sun is a 96. This one just touched me. You know, I mean, it's easy to... I have more access to this one because what I've gone through, a lot of people lose their parents, but it's just, I'm everybody's going to one day. If you don't go before them, you know, God, oh God, this is morbid as fuck. But what I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to make like a, what I am saying is everybody brings their own baggage to whatever art that they experience or interpret. But I'm definitely in a place to just kind of have that because there is a guy. Like I said this last year. I said, you know, I have his driver's license in my wallet and this ID, this work ID that he had that looked like it was before I was born. And the way that he looked, it was like, who is that guy? You know, there's parts of him it's parts of a person that you love that you'll never really know. And you'll never know before. Maybe if that person was famous or something and they had a film crew, a documentarian was following that person, but you'll never know. Like now that my dad's gone, I'll never know what he was like when he was younger. I have an idea of who he was, but you know, or the stories that people tell about him, but it's like, who is that guy? I know him to be my dad and the guy I looked up to, the guy that protected me, and then the guy who eventually became a friend and confidant. So, but he had a whole nother life before me. So did my mother. My mother reminds me of that though. I was here before you. Yeah, mom, that's how life works. 'Cause you're my mom. And you've spent time on Earth, much more time on Earth than I have. That's kind of how it works. But she like will explain that shit. You know, I was like, mom, I get it. But so it's, I really liked it because I wasn't really looking for, sometimes you got to kind of know what you're watching. And I kind of had when I watched the trailer, I was kind of like, okay, this is going to be something different. And it still did. You could, if you were doing a double feature, I would suggest you could pair this with Somewhere. Somewhere is more of a kind of shines the light on like celebrity and what that's like, the loneliness and all that stuff. And then, you know, having, oh, I got to deal with my kid. You know, my kid is around and I got to deal with that shit. That I kind of don't really know her, but it's not as heavy as After Sun, but I think After Sun's a beautiful film. And I bought it off of iTunes, because it had extra features and it had a director's commentary. So I'm interested in listening to that while I rewatch, as this is kind of one that, like, I watched this like Christmas Eve, and this is kind of a film that, like, you want to, my mom can't hear me, you want to watch this one, like, would light a candle and watch this with an adult beverage. It's only an hour and 36 minutes. I think it's a special film, probably one of the best I've seen this year. I don't know, because I know everybody's done these best of and stuff. Some of my colleagues have done that. But, you know, when we get to this, I just still haven't seen enough. I feel like I've been lapped. I haven't seen a lot of these films that are being considered for awards. So hopefully once the SAG nominations come out, they will give us links to some movies so I can watch them. And not have to go out yeah, I wouldn't mind going out across the highway to see some movies, but if I don't have to, I'd rather do that. Yeah, but I think After Sun, next to Tar, right now, currently, Tar is the best thing I've seen this year. I would say Tar, After Sun, and Barbarian. As far as, like, yeah, just new stuff. Yes, Top Gun Maverick was amazing, but that's from a franchise. That's like a reboot of a franchise from a franchise that existed 30 years ago, of a film that was released 30 years ago. As far as new stuff that I've seen, Tar, After Sun, Barbarian. That's my current 1, 2, 3. So, yeah, I would say see it. It's actually, if you're in the Maryland, D.C. area, I'm looking where it's playing at Cinema Arts Theater in Fairfax, Fair City Mall. I've never heard of that place. Whenever I go to the movies in this area, when I was a kid, my aunt would drop us off at Rivertown. And that's where, I don't know if Ba listens to this podcast, Ba will go to like Marlow Heights, to these hood movie theaters. I went there when I was a kid. Like, I rewatched that. Oh, another thing, random. How long have I been going on this thing? How long have I been doing? About hour and 15. Okay, you just get a, I haven't talked to you guys in a couple weeks. When I was a kid, I was watching, another thing I watched, the Martin reunion, the 30-year reunion. Really fun, brought back so many memories. Afterwards, I watched the Tommy Davidson, the Varnell Hill episode, and the David Alan Grier episodes. Oh, it was so good. I think those might be my favorites. I don't know. But some of the clips that they showed was just fucking hilarious. And I loved Martin when I was a kid. He was like one of my comedy heroes growing up. And I remember my dad took me to see You So Crazy. That had to be 1993, I want to say. No, it was 1994. So I was in eighth grade. I was in eighth grade when that came out. April 27th, 1994. I was 14. So he took me to see that. And that was like an NC-17. He took me to Marlow Heights. And like, Ba still goes there. And it's so hood. And my mother's coming downstairs. So I think that'll be the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Say hi, Mom, if you want to say hello.
Hello. Happy New Year.
It's Happy New Year for my mom. She can't yell at me while the podcast is going. So, thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great New Year, and I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy.